It's in Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now Pastor Chris will give us our message.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It is great to have you guys here worshiping with us this morning. And as Bob said, it's kind of weird to say, but this is last message for me as a associate pastor of English Ministries here at Canaan. Who knows what happens in the future? Maybe, you know, I'll come back as a guest speaker or, you know, somewhere down the line, God might call me back to Canaan. Who knows? But for now, this is it. And it has been such a joy and a blessing to be able to serve and to every, you know, couple weeks to give God's word to you guys these past 6 years. We have made a lot of good friends. We've, you know, deepened a lot of relationships. And we're going to really miss you guys, you know, as a church. I'm going to share more about, you know, my love for you guys and appreciation for you guys in this message. But let's go ahead and pray first. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much just for, again, this opportunity to come and just to worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that this Thanksgiving weekend, you know, people are traveling and in and out and stuff like that, but so thankful for this time that we can, you know, come together here in your house and just to worship you, to hear from your word. And I, you know, I know I take this very seriously, and it's such an honor to always be able to come and give, you know, God's word to your people. And so I pray that you would bless this time as we get into your word, that you speak to us. It would not be my words, but it would be yours, and that you'd be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So first of all, if you guys notice, there's no PowerPoint or keynote today. I know that's very weird, but this message is more kind of personal, has a more personal touch, and so I kind of wanted to connect with you guys just a little bit more. And so, yeah, so no, nothing there. You guys can just look at me, which is kind of awkward. But that's what this is. So today, it's kind of cool. I've said this before, but it's always neat when things kind of work out unexpectedly, kind of unplanned. So we had finished the Gospel of Mark, and we've been working through that this whole past year, and we finally finished that sermon series. And so for the church, we are going through what we call the lectionary text. And the lectionary text is kind of what these scriptures that are chosen that kind of go along with the Christian calendar. And so this is all planned way ahead and all that. And so I knew that this was going to be, you know, my last message. And at first, I was just going to, you know, I'll just, you know, choose my own text because this is my, you know, last message. I can do whatever I want. But then I was like, all right, I'll just look at, you know, what the lectionary texts are for this week and read it and see, you know, what they are. And so I read them, and when I read the Ephesians passage, I was like, wow, this is exactly kind of what I want to share with you guys. It's kind of cool. So I feel like, you know, God working that out and this timing and everything, and I get to share a passage that, you know, speaks to me when Paul kind of writing to the church in Ephesians, and for myself as I kind of, you know, preach this message to you guys here at Canaan, it all kind of works out. So it's kind of cool. I hope you guys will be encouraged by this. And so I'm going to briefly kind of run through the text with you guys, kind of explain what Paul was thinking as he was writing this to the church in Ephesians, and then hopefully kind of connect it from me to you guys as well. All right? So Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he was under house arrest at this time in Rome. But for him, he had a great connection with the church in Ephesus. So during his second missionary journey, Paul went on 4 missionary journeys, and on the second one, he went to Ephesus. And there he met Priscilla, Aquila, and eventually he planted a church there, the church in Ephesus. And so this was his church plant, his baby, if you would, one of those, you know, churches that he planted. He went back again in his third missionary journey, and he just had a great kind of relationship with this church. And he loved them a lot, and we see that, you know, kind of come out in this text when he writes this to the church there. So he starts off again, kind of this first couple of verses, and he says this. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers," verse 15 and 16. And here again, Paul probably hadn't seen the people in the church for a couple of years now, maybe 5 years or so. But still, through the grapevine and through his connections and whatever, and even though he's in Rome and they're in Ephesus and he's under house arrest, he has still heard of their faith, right? And he gives thanks for that. He appreciates them and what they've done, and you know he knows that they have been faithful to God, that in this many years after he has planted this church, that the people have continued to be faithful there, to grow, to reach out to the community. He really was encouraging them to bond between the Gentiles and Jews and have this good relationship. That was a big part of Ephesians, if you read through that. But he's thankful. He's so thankful for them because he knows that this church has been faithful to God and also faithful to loving one another. Okay. He continues on, and he says that he wants to pray for the church. And specifically, he says 3 things that he prays for them that he hopes that they would know or that they would understand, they would remember. So the first thing that he prays for them is that they would know God and really know who he is. He says this in verse 17. He says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So he prays for the Holy Spirit to come upon this church, that they may really know God and to really know him personally. Now, for a lot of them, you know, again, and this relates to us as well, it's easy for us to know head knowledge about God, right? They can go to church, they can read the old scriptures and Old Testament passages or whatever it is, and they can know about God, but that relationship might not really be there. And for myself, I think about it in terms of like celebrities and stuff like that. You might know a lot of facts about, you know, certain celebrities or people maybe you follow on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and you know facts about them, but you don't really know them, right? They don't know you. You don't know them. Not unless you spend time with them and actually, you know, rub shoulders and engage with them, you know, face to face. That's when you actually get to know somebody, right? And in the same way for the church, he's praying for them that they would know God and not just know him in their head, but that they really have a personal, deep relationship and deep connection with them, right? And so that's what he was praying for. And he was saying that, you know, in order to do that, you know, you need to, you know, spend time with God, you know, build up the relationship through, you know, prayer, study of scripture, through just, you know, connecting with one another. These are all ways for them, you know, to build their to know them, to really know who Christ is. The second thing that he talks about or he prays for them is that they would have hope. They would have a hope. Verse 18 says, "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what the hope to which he has called you, what the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards those who believe according to the great might." I went too far. But verse 18 talks about this hope that they have in him. Not only can, you know, this church know God personally in this close relationship, but there is a purpose, there is a plan that God has called for them. To be a follower or disciple of Christ isn't just about meeting with God personally and having your prayer time and devotions, you know, every day and just praying and, okay, and that's it, and then going on with our lives and, you know, just keeping our relationship with God central, just, you know, a personal thing. But there's a plan, there's a purpose, there's something that God wants us to be called to do. not to just have this relationship, but to actually go and do something, right? And so that's why he has a great commission to go into the world, to make disciples of all nations, to love God, to love others, to really engage the community and the people around them, right? It's an active kind of a relationship. It's an active faith that we need to do. So it's more than, again, more than just, you know, having a nice, cushy relationship and, oh, God loves me and I love him and that's it, yay, hooray, and I'll just, that's it. But instead, it should impact people around us, right? It should actually go and actually, that there's something there. The other hope kind of that he talks about, you know, that he encourages them through is to say that, hey, you know what, again, this world is crazy, life is not perfect, you know, good and bad things come and go, but we have a hope that is in Christ, that there is something more down the line, right? That we're not just living for this world and that's it, but that there is a future kind of a thing that we're looking forward to. That God is doing something already in the world today, and for us to be a part of that. Okay, so that is kind of the hope that he is preaching and encouraging the church to know. And then finally, he prays that the church may know this power, and that's in verse 19 till the end. And he says this again, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might? That the work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above the rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. Again, we are not perfect people. The church in Ephesus was not perfect. And if you read in Revelations when, you know, John pens, the letters to the churches there through Christ, they're saying that, hey, but they forgot their first love. Right? They were really strong, and they kind of petered out towards the end of their faith. And they weren't perfect a church either. Paul was hoping and praying that they would really experience God's power in their lives, and that power coming through Christ. So again, not just knowing God personally in our only relationship, not just knowing that there's hope for us, and even in crazy times, there's, you know, that we can trust in him and that there's a plan for us, but to really go and experience God's power in his everyday, in our everyday lives. And we can experience that, again, because of what Christ has done. Because he has overcome death and temptation, we can be able to, you know, experience kind of power. When we live out our faith, we can experience that power. When we actually step out in faith and do, you know, stretch ourselves, that's when we experience God. It's easy for us to, again, when life is easy, and we kind of just go on every day and every day and every day to kind of forget about God when things are good, right? But if we really want to experience him, we need to step out. And we have to push ourselves and put ourselves in positions where God will show up and when he will actually, you know, that power will come through. And so Paul, again, prays for them, prays that they would really experience this power. And so this was Paul's kind of prayer and his thanksgiving for the church in Ephesus. And for myself, again, when I read this, I was thinking about my relationship with this church, Canaan. I kind of wanted to tie that together and spend most of this message, again, on my hopefully encouraging you guys, my prayer to you guys, and also my way of giving thanks to this church for all that you guys have done for me and my family. And so originally, I was actually going to, like, actually handwrite a letter to you guys, but I didn't have time. And so I typed it up, I'll half read it, half kind of just share what was kind of on my heart to you guys as I read through this passage. So this is how it goes. Dear Canaan Church, you guys, I am so thankful for you guys, for all your love and for all your support for me and my family, for this last 6 years. Last month, Canaan celebrated its 37th birthday or anniversary, if you want to consider that. My dad was the founding pastor here at Canaan, and so when I was 1 year old, I started going to Canaan. And so I know Canaan very well. It is something, Canaan has a special place that is in my heart. I have seen people come and go in these many years, all throughout my high school years, and then when I came back in 2005, 2009, and then now 2012 to 2017. And people have come and go, but there has always been a consistent group of people, faithful, committed people, who have called Canaan their home church. And they have really been faithful in serving and doing their part and listening to God and trying to hear His direction, His will, and to obey that calling, to obey what God wants them to do. And I think it is a testament that after 37 years, that this church is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Taiwanese churches in this area, in the Bay Area. And I know it's not all about numbers. It's not all about, how many people attend and stuff. But there is something to be said, I think, about how through 37 years it's been sustained, that, God has, provided His faithfulness to this church because of the people's faithfulness to Him. But again, it is more than numbers, and I know in my experience, as I have come and I have served with many people, many of you guys, that I have seen your faithfulness to God. And I wanted to point to some of those things. Okay, here we go. I'm so thankful for all the pastors here at Canaan Church. I know that we meet every week, and it's been great to just be able to serve alongside them and pray together and learn from each other. We're all different. We come from different backgrounds, and we're not all the same, but that's the beauty of it, that we can be able to plan and serve and love this church in our own ways. And I know that as I have served with the pastors these past 6 years, I know that each one of them really love God and they really love this church. I know I testify to that. And so I'm thankful for their heart, their commitment, their service to God's people here at Canaan. I'm so thankful for the deacons and the elders. I know that being a leader at the church is not easy. There are always a lot of responsibilities, and there's a lot on your plate, not just from church stuff, but from house and family and work. But on top of that, there's church stuff that you guys do. I know it isn't easy to try to recruit people to do stuff, but that you guys have been faithful in serving God's people, and I thank you for using your gifts to build up Canaan. I'm so thankful for all the counselors who have committed their time and energy to serve the youth. They've taken out their Friday nights to serve and to love the youth. They've stayed out, come out on weekends for different events and activities, sleepovers, stuff like that. They commit second hour class and teach them, spend time with them, to listen to the youth, to love them, and give them sound biblical advice. They pray for them, and they've been a good example. So I'm so thankful for them. I wouldn't name all of the counselors, but that'll be too many people, and it'll start sounding like an awards. This is already sounding like an awards ceremony, but sorry, you got to do it. But you know who you guys are as counselors, and I thank you guys for the many, many years of faithful service to them. I know you guys have been a blessing to the youth and made a big impact in their lives. I'm so thankful for all those who serve on core team from youth group. I know that there's commitment there that you guys have made, not just from, again, have school, busy lives, and all those things, but you guys have used your gifts, your talents, to really build up the youth group. I'm thankful for all the worship team members I've been able to serve with, faithfully putting in time and practice, coming early on Sundays, coming sometimes on Saturdays, staying late on Friday nights to practice for this worship service. I love it. I love worshiping with you guys, and it's a joy to lead people into true worship. Thankful for our small group members to be able to serve alongside them, to meet with them. We encourage one another, pray for one another, really keep each other accountable and learn about God together. So I'm thankful for them. Thankful for all those who have served on short-term missions and VBS. You guys have gone, you guys have done the commissioning, what God has called us to do, to go into the world, to tell others about God. So I have seen God's faithfulness, again, in many, many, many people, of how they have stepped up, how they have served this church and served God. I've also really experienced God's love from you guys, and especially this past couple of months when our twins have been born, you guys have really poured out your love for us, and I'm so thankful for that. May and I, we've, you know, haven't had time to always cook food and stuff, so people have brought us, you know, lots of meals. We're so thankful for that. People have bought us boba for May and myself, mostly for May, but we know that we enjoy these treats, and they have bought us boba. People have babysit our kids, come over to our place to stay and to watch the kids so that we can either just get a break or to do some work or even go out on a date. People have watched the help over Sunday second hour time, so that again I can preach and May doesn't have to, you know, take both twins at the same time. The TGIF Friday night fellowship group and also the youth parents have watched the youth on Friday nights, the twins on Friday nights, so that I can take care of the youth and do youth ministry, and May can take a well-needed break on Friday nights, and that's been a great blessing for us. You guys have given us a lot of stuff, clothes, toys for our kids. You guys have, again, taken care of our twins, changed poo-poo diapers and even blowout diapers. Now that is love. You guys have done all those things for us, and we're so thankful for that. Small group members have, again, supported, pray for us. You've helped us move from our apartment to our condo, from our condo to Elder Wang's place where we're staying at. We're so thankful for him and their family for letting us stay at their place rent-free for the past month. And we have just really, again, just experienced God's love in this community. And I hope that, again, it's that you guys, I know that this has been for us and our family, and we're so thankful for that. But I pray and I hope that you wouldn't limit it just to us, right? That you guys would really, again, see one another, see the needs of one another. I know ours is kind of special. We kind of had twins, and so people are like, oh, twins, you guys need help. You know, and people have totally come out and helped us. But, you know, parents need help, other parents who, you know, need help, and, you know, there's youth and others, who singles who need help. And so really see those needs and reach out and love. And as you have loved us, I encourage you guys to love one another in those ways as well. And this is my prayer for you guys, just as Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. I would pray for you guys. I pray that you guys would really know God. That you guys would really know him for who he is. Know that God is real. Know that he loves you. Know that he is good. Know that he is faithful. Know that he is just. Know that he is full of grace and truth. Know that he is there for you. Know that he cares. Know that he listens to your prayers. Know that he answers prayers. I pray that you guys really know God in a deep and personal way. You know, get to know him. How? Again, spend time in prayer. Spend time in God's word. Spend time with one another studying God's word in conversations about faith, not just about, you know, social media and what's on, you know, Netflix and sports and whatnot. But really talk about God. Talk about your faith. Talk about what God is doing in our life. Encourage one another in that way. Spend time serving one another, serving this church. You know, use your gifts to really build up this church. Spend time outside these walls, in the communities around us, in your schools, in your workplaces, in your homes. You know, step out in faith and see that when you guys do so, that's when God really shows up. And God will stretch you guys and grow you as you step out in faith. You'll really be able to experience again his power, which I'll talk about more later. I pray that you guys will know the hope that you have in him. I know that these next couple months will be kind of crazy. There's going to be a lot of transitions going on. And I know things might seem hectic, a little bit unstable. But remember that God is your rock. He never changes. You can depend on him. You can trust in him. He's faithful. He is good. Remember that God has a good plan for you guys, for this church. And he wants you guys to be a part of this. One day, I know you guys are going to look back and you guys will see and you're like, wow, that was really cool. And you know, I'm so glad I was able to be a part of, you know, this crazy transitional time, and I saw what God did through this time. I can't wait to hear all the cool things that God is going to do through you guys when I'm in Arcadia, you know, 300 miles away or whatever it is, and I'll still be able to, you know, think of, and thank you, thank God for your faithfulness to him, and just give him praise and thanks for the things that you guys are doing up here in the Bay. And I pray that you guys will really experience, again, God's power to really know him as you guys live out your faith, that you would experience God's power and presence and provision, his great timing, that all those things will kind of show up in your lives and see how God is real. I know that I have experienced God in some pretty cool ways. I just want to share two kind of personal stories, and I share them not to brag about what God did in our lives or whatever, but to brag about God, to brag about how great He is, how cool He is, kind of what He has done for us. So first of all, and I've shared this with some of you guys, so you guys know this, but a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, May and I were driving to church on a Wednesday to come to church for, you know, office hours and do some work and stuff like that. And along the way, as we were driving on the Highway 85, the transmission in my car, my Ford Flex, started to go. And so once it hit like 35, and then as I tried to go higher than that, it wouldn't change. The gears wouldn't change. The engine would start revving. And I was like, oh, okay, this is not right. Something's not right. Now, thankfully, there was actually traffic in the morning going to church, so I didn't really have to go past 35 miles an hour. So that was kind of good. And eventually we kind of slowly, you know, made our way. It was pretty scary. We're like, is the car going to break down? We just got to get to church. You know, and so we drove. We got off the highway, remember, and it actually got even worse, and I couldn't go past like 5 miles an hour. I was like, oh, this is really bad. And we like snuck around the back. We kind of went through Alviso, through the back way, because there's less cars. And we made it to church. And we got to church, we parked, and Pastor Sue was there, and we went, Pastor Sue, our car is like messed up. Help. What can we do? Now, this was our only car at that time. So I drove May's car down to LA a week before. We brought JJ down. This is why he's not with us, to be with my parents. And he gets to go down there first. And so this was our only car. This was the only mode of transportation. And we're stuck at church, and we're like, okay, you know, what can we do? Well, first we need to bring our car somewhere. You know, we have to go bring it to get checked out, right? And so Pastor Sue, he said, I know an auto shop pretty close to church. You know, have kind of a connection, so maybe he can, you know, see, you know, put you in the queue earlier and all that stuff, right? And so, well, okay, cool, that sounds good. We called AAA to come and tow the truck, to tow our car, and the tow truck came. And since we have the most basic AAA membership, the free towing radius is 5 miles. Okay, it's not very far. That's for free, for 5 miles. The auto shop, 4.5 miles away. All right, we made it. And so it's kind of cool. And so we made it there. So it's free. It's a free tow to this auto shop, and we got the car there. Unfortunately, the guy couldn't figure out. He didn't know exactly what was wrong with the car, and so we eventually had to bring it to a Ford dealership, where it's still there right now. But anyways, so we're back at church. So we kind of went back to church. Now we have no car with the twins stuck at church. And we're like, okay, how do we get back to Elder Wang's home, which is where we're staying at? And we're like, okay, maybe we can borrow a car. Maybe, you know, someone can, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do. And at that time, this lady from the Taiwanese congregation came to give Pastor Sue some batzang, some lunch. Okay, and so she showed up with the two batzangs for Pastor Sue. And Pastor Sue's like, oh, I'm actually not really hungry. Kristen may haven't eaten. You can give it to them. So we got a free lunch, which is nice. So we got to eat the batzangs that are supposed to be for Pastor Sue. And then as their time talking, Pastor Sue's like, oh, hey, you have a kind of a bigger car. Would you be able to at least take, you know, Kristen May and the twins back to the Elder Wang's home? She's like, sure, we can do that. So we packed up, and we were on our way back to Elder Wing's home, and this lady was like, hey, do you guys need a car? Yeah, we do need a car. She's like, hey, this is my second other car. I have my primary car that I usually drive is at home. I don't know why I decided to drive this car to church today, but you guys can borrow it. And so we're like, okay, thank you. And so God provided us a car from this random lady who came to church to give Pastor Sue some batzangs. And instead we ate the batzangs and we took her car. And we've been driving it for the last 3 weeks. And she's just like, she's been really cool with it. And I think, I don't know, I feel like, you know, God showed up for us in such a big way at that time. We're like, oh, you know, that was so random. But that was God. How amazing is that? A second story is regarding with our home. So when we first moved to the Bay Area, you know, May and I, we rented out an apartment in North San Jose. And at the end of the year, the apartment was, the rent was going to go up. And it was going up by a lot. And so we're thinking, you know, should we, you know, continue to rent? You know, should we try to move out, find another place to rent or buy? And talking to our parents are like, yeah, you should buy a place, you know, if you guys can. May's parents was like, we're willing to help, you know, you guys, you know, finance the home. You know, so we'll work together and we could, you know, try to, you know, purchase a home. And so we made this decision a little bit late. It was like right after my birthday in October. So end of October, we decided, okay, maybe we should start looking for a place to buy. Our rent was coming up at the end of December, which doesn't give us a lot of time. 2 months is not a lot of time to find a place. And we had to move out of that place because they were doing renovations. They're just revamping all the places. And so they were going to redo the unit that we're living in. And we had to sign a contract saying either, you know, we're going to stay for the next kind of term, or otherwise we're going to leave. And like, we didn't want to pay the rent. So we had to move out by this time. We couldn't like re-up for another month or so or anything like that. So we're on a time crunch. And we asked Stephen's mom to be our realtor, and we're like, hey, let's go look at some homes. So in the first week in November, we kind of went out, we looked. Our second week in November, we went out and looked. We didn't see any homes that we liked. The second weekend, we went out, and there was a place that we saw. We're like, yeah, this looks pretty nice. We're like, you know what, let's go ahead and just try to put down an offer. My experience of what I've heard from other people is that usually the offer that you put down doesn't work, and it takes like multiple tries until you finally get a place. Right, so like, let's just go ahead and just try, just to see what happens. And they accepted our offer. We're like, oh, okay, we are now homeowners at this condo that we looked at. Later, we found out that ours wasn't the highest bid. But for a variety of reasons, they decided to choose us, you know, to take our offer. And so we are so thankful for, you know, again, God kind of providing that. Everything went pretty smoothly with the close of the sale. And we got the keys 3 days before we had to move out, the weekend before we had to move out of our place. So again, God's timing was just perfect just then. That weekend, a bunch of people came over to help move our stuff to our new place. And we got out in time, which we're so thankful for. 2 years later, we had JJ. And we started to think again, so what should we do with our house? It's kind of, you know, it's a little tight. Eventually, you know, we might want a bigger family, so maybe we should move out. And so we started looking for homes, and there was nothing that we liked, nothing in our price range that we could afford. And so we're like, all right, maybe not. We're not going to buy a home at this time. And God kind of closed that door for us. 2 years later, we found out we had twins, which was a big surprise. And then we're again, things came up like, okay, so now what? You know, now what should we do? We're going to have twins. My term here at Canaan was coming up. And so the future was very kind of hazy, very unknown. And so a lot of time, we spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time kind of talking it through. You know, what should we do? What should we do? Should we stay here, you know, continue to serve here at Canaan, try to hopefully find a place, a bigger place up here in the Bay, and find some help? We know we need help with the twins. Or what's the other option? The other option would be to move closer to home, with my parents' home, which is in L.A., because I can get some help there. We can look for a job. Maybe a job opportunity would show up there, and we can do that. And so we went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I really felt that God was calling me to do an adult kind of English ministry. I had been serving in the youth capacity for over 15, 16 years now. And I've been doing youth ministry for a long time. And I felt, you know, I think God wants me to stretch myself a little bit and not just to stick with youth, but to do like an EM adult position. That coupled with help in LA, help coupled with housing is a little bit cheaper, still expensive, but a little bit cheaper than up here in LA, more affordable. Like, okay, maybe we should move. And so we decided to make that commitment to move down to LA. We put our house on the market just a month ago, and it went really smooth. One weekend, 8, you know, offers. Everyone offered well over the listing price. And the money, you know, we had a great kind of increase in what, you know, we bought the house, our condo for, to what we sold it for. And we really believe that that money is going to be just what we need to be able to purchase, you know, a place for us in LA. So again, I believe God closed that door earlier for us to wait to sell the place that we had now, so that, again, hopefully down in LA, that we'll be able to purchase, you know, a place. And so, again, we see God's kind of timing, His moving, His hand kind of working in this in the last 6 years till now. So these are just kind of two stories, you know, that I've seen God kind of work in our lives. And there's a lot more. There's a lot more that He has done, a lot more to encourage you guys hopefully by. But God is so good, and I really believe it, again, that God loves you guys. God loves this church. And again, the future is kind of uncertain, kind of what's going to happen next. But I really believe and I trust that God's going to provide, again, the right people to come. You have people here that are committed, that I know are going to step up and serve. And it's a great opportunity, a great chance for each of you guys to really use your gifts, again, to be stretched a little bit and to see what God is going to do through you guys. And again, I'm excited. I'm really excited to hear what God is going to do, because I believe He's going to do some great things. I want to close again just with a reminder for you guys of just why we do all of what we do. Right, this is the gospel message, and I love to kind of remind us again of why we meet every week, why we come together, right? Mm. It's not because of just the friendships and that's part of it, but it's because of what God has done for us, right? We are sinners, we are broken people, we are in need of a Savior. We cannot do anything on our own, but because of God's great love for us, right? He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on our behalf so that we may have life, that we may have hope that is in Him. He rose from the dead. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God. And one day He's going to return. He's going to, you know, judge everyone. But we who have committed our lives to Him, we have no fear. We have hope. We know that we're going to be with Him, you know. And so I pray that again, that you continue to grow with Christ, get to know Him more daily, trust in Him, put your hope in Him, know that He's faithful and good. Live a life of faith and experience His power in and through your life. Love God, love others. So thank you again, church, for all you've done for me and my family. It has been a joy and blessing to serve with you. Canyon will always have a special place in my heart. I love you guys, and God bless. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much just for this time that we can get into your word. I thank you so much for this church, again, for all the things that you've done in this church. And I know that you'll continue to do some great, amazing things through them in the future. I'm excited to hear what you've done. I pray for them. I pray for us, each one of us, that we may continue to know you more and more daily, every day, that we will know this hope, know the power that you have that's in us, and that we would be able to live with faith to really go out and make an impact in the world around us, that we will not stay silent about what you've done for us, and that we would just share about your great love that you have for us to others. So continue to bless this church, continue to use this church to further your kingdom, to further the things that you're already doing here and that you will continue to do. We thank you, we love you, and just let me pray. Amen.